Well, good evening. I'll try it one more time. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight here at Harvest. Looking forward to worshiping the Lord together. Miss Tony, it's good to see you tonight. We love you. We're continuing to pray for you and trust in the Lord on your behalf, but it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. We're going to open tonight with hymn number 601. Would you stand together with me? Yes, Lord, yes. Let's sing it out tonight and let it be the prayer of our hearts. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for the opportunity to, Lord, step apart from the world. Lord, to assemble together as believers in your name tonight. And Lord, I pray that as we do so, that Lord, number one, first and foremost, Lord, that you would be honored. Lord, I pray that the songs of our lips and the prayer of our heart, Lord, even our response to your word, Father, would first and foremost honor you. Lord, I also pray tonight that you would refresh us. Lord, many times in this midweek, we just need refreshed. And so, Lord, I ask that you would meet with us in a special way. Revive us again, I pray, even on this cloudy, kind of cold Wednesday night in May. Lord, we want to meet with you. And so, Lord, we ask that you meet with us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you never know quite what you're going to get on a Wednesday night. And tonight, we have a very special song leader. I hope you brought your energy. I'm ready to sing. Amen. Pastor Lewis. Amen.
Hey, if you're happy you're saved, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's great to see you. 772 in your songbook, please. 772. One of my favorite songs. I didn't choose the songs tonight. They were already chosen. Here's one of my favorite, When We All Get to Heaven. Come on, let's lift it up, please. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he prepared for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, all good singing, when we all get to shout the victory. Let us then be true, trusting, serving every day. One glimpse of him in, oh amen, life repaid. When we all get to heaven, oh what a day, rejoicing that will be. Onward to the prize before us, get to heaven. What a day that will be when we all see Jesus, sing and shout the victory. Well, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Turn in your songbook, if you will, please, to page number, I think it's 418? 419. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. No, it says we're marching to Zion. Okay. All right, Brother Kaufman, what'd you do to me, brother? 416. You know this one, I'm sure. Years ago, when I was a kid, Brother Belcher might have had this when he was a kid, I don't know. Been a long time ago, hasn't it? We start singing this song at a church where I grew up. We start marching. How many did that in church? Can I see your hand? March all the way around the church building. You that, Mrs. Belcher? The Presbyterian church? Oh, it's a Bible Presbyterian church. That's a little different. Well, we're marching to Zion. Amen. Come on, everybody. Sing it with me, please. Come with hand of the Lord and let our joys be known. In a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Song I see. We have come into his house. Is that the one? All righty. 224. 224. Let me ask you a question. How do you worship? How do you worship? It said, let us come into his house and worship him. Songwriter said, I want you to come into the house and worship Him. I remember years ago when Larry Petrie first came to our church, we would sing a song something like this, and he would stand with his hands like this. God, I give it all. I give it all. Here, God, take all of me. I worship you tonight. I saw some of my older saints raise a hand like that. I saw Barry do that just a moment ago. I'm worshiping you, God. Maybe somebody in this house ought to do that. Maybe somebody in this house ought to slow this song down just a bit and sing, Lord, we come into your house to worship you. We didn't come to look who's here. We didn't come to see what was wrong with the building or wrong with the song leader or wrong with the preacher. Too loud on the piano or too soft. We came here to worship him. Come on, help me sing it, would you please? Let's forget about ourselves for just a few moments and magnify his name. Together, let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves, magnify his name, worship him. Oh God, help us in Jesus' sweet name to worship you, worship you, God. Verse number 2, sing it. Magnify his name to worship him. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in prayer tonight, just worshiping our God. Lord, we love you. Some of us need a real touch from God. Oh, God, would you touch us tonight? Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We magnify your name, Lord. What a joy to come on a Wednesday night and feel the very presence of God. Lord, as we sing this one more time, would you just touch our hearts in Jesus' sweet name? Just one more time, please. Let us forget about ourselves. Magnify his name. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify his name. Worship him. Amen. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify his name. Worship him. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify his name and worship Christ, my Lord. Worship him, Christ.
Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to worship the King of Kings? You may be seated. Boy, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. And it has been good just to sing to the Lord and spend some time in his presence tonight. Got a couple of announcements as we go on with our service tonight. I want to remind everybody about the upcoming revival. And so that's going to be Sunday, May 15th through the 18th. And so looking forward to that, there's a full schedule of events for the week. And I want to encourage you to be a part of as much as you can. Would even invite you to come be with our students in chapel if you're able to do that. I think we're also going to try to broadcast those chapel messages as well. So you can check them out on Facebook or on, I think, Clean Air. So I want to make just this accessible. as much as we can. And so there is schedules available on the app and outside at the Welcome Center. A reminder that we are going to do kind of a dessert fellowship on Monday, where we will be fellowshipping around the desserts that the church family brings. So if you could plan to bring a dessert on Monday evening for that, that would be a big help. Church phone book is available. Pick yours up today. And then we're going to have a new members class the week following Revival is when we'll start that. May the 22nd, beginning at 9 a.m. during our Sunday school hour. And it's about a six-week class for those who are not members but want to become members, those who are not members but who are interested in learning more about Harvest or more about membership. And so if you are interested in being a part of that, please let either myself know or Brother Frank Wiesner know, and we can get you on the list and get you signed up for that. And last but not least, I don't think we have a slide for this, but Sunday, church, is Mother's Day. Yes. And so we had at the Good News Club yesterday, I heard they asked the kids what Sunday was, and none of the kids knew. So I'm glad you know Sunday is Mother's Day. And of course, we're looking forward to being together on the Lord's Day that day. We are going to have a gift for all the mothers who are with us on Sunday, and it is edible. And all the ladies said, amen. And so it will be good. So I want to remind you of that and invite your friends, invite your families, and looking forward to being together on Sunday, Mother's Day. Again, a gift for all moms on that day. We're going to pause now, ask the Lord to bless the giving of our tithes and offerings this evening, and I am going to ask if he would, Brother Steve Wright, would you stand right where you are and ask the Lord's blessing on tonight's tithes and offerings. Thank you, orchestra, for ministering in song tonight. Let's get our prayer lists out, and we're going to take some time tonight and go over some prayer requests and maybe some updates, some praises that you might have. If I could get, Brother Charles has got a couple of microphones, and so you guys would be able to help me out. If I could get one of them to Brother Belcher right now, that would be great. Wanted to give a couple of requests to the church family as we begin our prayer time this evening. The first, I wanted to give an update on the Stars. Of course, Brother Starr and his wife will be with us for Revival. And last week we were praying because they had pneumonia. So they are still recovering, though there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And so they are doing better and on the mend. So, but let's continue to pray for Brother Starr and his wife, Miss Shirley, that they will get over this sickness and be able to be with us in a couple of weeks. I also asked the church if they would to pray. Of course, we have a new assistant pastor, principal coming, the principal that's coming for next school year, Brother Josh Middall and his family. And so they will actually be moving into the area on May the 19th. And so we need to pray for the transition for their family and for housing. If you've had to look for housing, it's not great right now. And so the Lord's called them here. They're ready to come. They're excited. But they would also like a place to live. So I know that if God lined all these things up, God didn't forget about a house. Amen. But we need to pray and for their family, for the transition to our area, as well as for housing for them as they come to our area. And it's a family of six. It's him and his wife, brother, sister, Middall, and their four kids. So it's not like they can just grab any old apartment. They've got to find something that fits their family. So church, if you would be in prayer for them, I know they would appreciate it. And then, Brother Belcher, would you give us a quick update on Brother Mike Desnet?
Sure, yeah, I got to talk to him, Brother Mike, today, and I said, well, what are you up to, brother? And he said, well, actually, I'm sitting here watching TV right now. I said, well, you know what? That sounds encouraging. And he was very encouraged as I talked to him. He got to come home on Monday, and they were able to insert the necessary connection in his neck for his dialysis, but they also put one in his arm. And he said that needs a little bit of attention and that kind of a thing. But the thing that I was really most encouraged about was his spirit and his attitude about it, and that he is still a good candidate to have the dialysis done at home.
Okay.
He said in a couple of weeks they're planning to do that stomach surgery that they originally had wanted to do, so that he can go about that process of doing that. And then he told me one real highlight of his time there was he got to witness to his nurse.
Amen.
He said, I shared the gospel with the nurse and explained it all. And they said they didn't pray. They didn't ask the Lord to save them, but they said they were really interested and asked a lot of questions.
Amen.
And so I was just so encouraged to talk to our brother today, and he appreciated everyone's prayers for him and asked, of course, that we would continue to pray for him.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Belcher. So, and church, continue to pray. Brother Mike was very sick for a while. His kidneys were functioning at less than 8%. And then even after they got the dialysis done, he was having chest pains and had to stay multiple nights more than they intended. But he is home, and he seems to be doing all right. So let's pray for no more complications as we praise the Lord for what he has done. Last but not least, and I will go ahead and let Miss Tammy give this last one, if that's all right. So we'll run a microphone over to her.
If we could be in prayer for Courtney and the little one, she is expected to, I'm expected to meet her on Monday, 8 a.m. Courtney goes in for surgery. She'll have a C-section on Monday.
Amen. So let's pray for Courtney on Monday, C-section, and for the little one, and exciting stuff. And so, church, if we could pray for Courtney, for the baby, and for Miss Tammy and all the family. Anyone else tonight? Robbie Nitschke, good to see you, sir.
It's good to be back. Yesterday, my grandma had a scare. And even besides all the storms and everything like that, my dad was going over to visit, stop in, check on her, make sure everything's okay. When he pulled into the house, he found both front doors were hanging wide open. The back door was wide open. Found my grandma sitting on the back patio on the picnic table. She was not coherent, couldn't really understand what she was trying to say. She kept actually calling my dad or Bobby, as in my late grandfather. He took her inside as the sirens were going off for the tornado warning yesterday. And when they got her inside, he realized her sugar had crashed. And got her sugar. She wouldn't eat anything, wouldn't drink anything. They called squad. They came during the downpour, got into the house. They were there for at least an hour, hour and a half, got her sugar back up to normal levels where it should have been. But she's fighting an abscess tooth right now, so she's going, she has antibiotic as well as a pain reliever, and that really affects her sugar. Her monitor isn't seeming to be calibrated correctly. So it's really off compared to where she was. And the only downfall we as the family can see it, but when her sugar's low, she can't feel it. She can't tell. So she was getting to a point where it was crashing pretty low. And I praise God that my dad was actually stopping over to visit, because not sure how long she actually would have been outside.
Right.
With everything going on. So just keep my grandma in your prayers. Get that the tooth healed. That way she can kind of go back to a more normal eating habit than what she is right now.
Right. Certainly keep that in prayer. Any others tonight? Miss Elnora?
Last week, someone requested prayer for Nancy Taylor's grandson, Dylan, and he did pass away on Monday. Nancy's not able to go to Colorado for the funeral, but just keep that whole family in prayer.
Thank you for that update. Brother Edgar.
Yeah, I'd like to say keep Betty in your prayers, because she's going to be going this Friday to Manfield, the doctor, to have everything checked and give x-rays to see how she's doing. And I'm praying everything's okay when they do all the x-rays and everything for her.
Okay. Amen. And you said that's on Friday. All right. If we could get a microphone up here to Crystal.
Just a little update on my mom. She was doing good for a little bit, and then she let her depression get the best of her and let herself go down again and quit eating and taking care of herself and ended up in the hospital. Mm. They got her straightened out a little bit, but she just needs prayers for her depression, because it's really hurting her situation on getting the surgery. She still hasn't had it. She's just too weak and all that, so just if you could lift her up in prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Anyone else? Miss Marion.
I would just ask you to pray for a dear friend of mine. Her name is Sue, and it involves some personal relationship issues, but just keep her in your prayers, please, that she'll have strength.
Absolutely. Anyone else this evening? Up here. Getting your steps in today, brother. All right, Eric.
Just want to praise and thank God. Had my doctor's appointment for my thumb about 2 days ago. It's fully healed, so
amen.
I'm all off restrictions and everything. So
amen.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Right.
Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? All right. If there are no other requests, I want to add one this week. We are, of course, asking the Lord to revive us, to refocus us, to refresh us. So last week we prayed specifically that God would reveal to us anything that stands between us and revival. Ask him to search us, try us, to know us, see if there be any wicked way in us. This week, what we're going to specifically ask the Lord for is a fresh vision. Going to ask the Lord to give us a fresh vision, a burden, a vision for where he is having us to go. And so I think about for our daddies that we would pray for the Lord to give us a vision for our family, and for us as parents that we would pray that the Lord would give us a vision for our children and for our house. And I think about those of you who work in ministry, asking the Lord to revive you, to refresh you, to refocus your vision in ministry, that it's not just same old status quo. We made it through another week. Glory, hallelujah, that's enough. No, it's not. And so asking the Lord to give us a fresh, revived vision. for what he has given us to do on this earth. And so, church, if we could add that to the prayer list for this week, for revival, for vision, refreshed, refocused vision from the Lord. And with that, we'll go ahead and put some music on. And if we want to find a place or a couple people that we can pray with this evening, that would be a wonderful thing. At this time, church, can we take these requests before the Lord? Father, as we continue in prayer this evening, how we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together as two or three. Lord, to come together as this body and to come before your throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And Lord, for the many requests that have been mentioned tonight, Lord, how I pray that you would meet with each situation and each circumstance. Lord, how I thank you for the confidence that we can have, that you know these situations. Lord, you know every circumstance. You know every need. You know, Father, the intricacies of them all. Lord, nothing takes you by surprise. And Lord, nothing is beyond your power. And so tonight, we commit these cares to you because we know that you care for us. And Lord, I pray especially for those tonight who may be burdened, but perhaps even too burdened to even raise a hand. Lord, I pray that your precious Holy Spirit would meet with those needs, that he would meet with, Father, with those burdens and those struggles, and that, Father, he would meet, that he would intercede. Father, I pray that even those burdens would find the help they need tonight. Lord, thank you that we can come to you with confidence that you are a good Father, that you are a more than capable God. Thank you for the assurance that you give us time and time again that you love us and that you delight and desire to hear and meet our needs. Lord, I pray that you'd help us never help us never to get over the privilege that we have to come to you for what we need in this life. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Grab your Bibles, if you would, this evening. 1 John, the epistle of 1 John. We're going to look at one verse tonight and kind of jump off from there. As promised, we are going to be looking tonight at the Trinity. So tonight is perhaps going to be a little more teachy than preachy, though I often can't help myself, and you get a mixture of both. But we had so many questions that were asked about the Trinity in the question and answer that I thought it appropriate to take a little bit of time and to talk about the Trinity tonight in its own a message, in its own space, if you would. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, when you found it, would you stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word? And those of you who may not have found it, it'll be there on the screen for you. I'd ask if you would, read it together in unison tonight. The Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Father, tonight I pray as we look into your Word that you would give us, Father, open hearts and open ears. Help us, I pray, as we look into some things that may be a little bit deep and a little bit meaty, that you would, I pray, give us hearts to believe what your word has to say to us. And we'll give you the praise for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight we're going to look at the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a difficult and yet fundamental truth of Scripture. And many Christians admit that they do not fully understand the Trinity. And that's a good thing, because the other Christians who do think they understand it don't. Because when it comes to the Trinity, fullness of understanding is beyond human comprehension. After all, how could my finite mind begin to understand an infinite God? But more on that in a bit. So tonight, do not expect perfect understanding. If you're looking for perfect understanding, I will leave you frustrated. Expect. Am I making some weird sound? Yes. Kind of sound squeaky? Like an alien? I could be one of them newfangled singers. No? Okay. Well, we're going to switch to a handheld if we can then. Brother Charles, can we switch me to a handheld? That'd be great. Gotta love tech, right, everybody?
We'll go blue.
Ta-da. All right. So, where were we? Don't expect perfect understanding. Expect perhaps a greater awe at how great our God is. So tonight, let's look at it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. First thing I'm going to do is let's look at the Trinity defined biblically. The Trinity defined biblically. Also, if you're expecting an alliterated outline, you will also be disappointed tonight. The Trinity defined biblically. Here we go. We worship, love, and serve one God. We worship, love, and serve one God. It is, the big fancy word is monotheism. There is one God and one alone. Exactly one God and no other. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5 remind us of this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In Isaiah chapter 45, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse number 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. So, very simply, as we begin to understand the Trinity tonight, we worship, love, and serve one God. But the Bible is clear that we worship, love, and serve one God and in three persons. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. All are called God. We see in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse number 24. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. So here we see the Father is called God. In John chapter 1 and verse number 1, we see that the Son is called God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God the Father is called God. God the Son is called God. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So who did Ananias lie to? The Holy Ghost, verse number 3. And to keep back part of the price of the land, verse number 4. When it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And so here Peter, under inspiration, equates the Holy Spirit with God, because the Holy Spirit is God. So they are all called God. Give you another example. They are all eternal. Deuteronomy 33 in verse number 27, here speaking, God the Father is covenant with Israel. The eternal God is thy refuge. In Micah 5 in verse number 2, we see a prophecy here of Jesus, the coming Messiah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so in Micah 5, 2, God the Son is eternal God. Hebrew 9 in verse number 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so here we see the eternal Spirit. So all are called God, all are eternal. We could go on and on. All are omnipotent, all are omniscient, all are holy, etc., etc., etc. All were present at creation. All were present at Jesus' baptism. All are involved in our salvation. All are essential in prayer. We pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. One God in three persons. The truth of the Trinity does not contradict monotheism.
Rather, it further reveals who God is in light of Scripture. And so, let me give you a good base definition for the Trinity. The Bible is clear that God is one in essence, three in person. God is one in essence, three in person. So now we want to look at a few questions concerning the Trinity. And these are questions that were asked of me by you, the church. The first question that was asked of me concerning the Trinity is, how do you describe or illustrate the Trinity? How do you describe or illustrate the Trinity? Let me help you here, okay? You can't. You can't. Or you cannot, sorry. Contractions, not as good. God is infinite. God is eternal. God is separate from his creation. He is so high, holy, and infinitely beyond us that we are not capable of fully understanding the Lord or describing him. Give you a couple of verses. Isaiah 40 and verse number 22. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. 1 Kings 8 and verse number 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded, Solomon speaking of the temple. Job in Job 37 and verse number 23 says, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. But look, Job said, we cannot find him out. We just can't do it. Paul wrote in Romans 11, 33 and 34, O the depth and riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? And the obvious answer is no one. You see, God is so high, so holy, so infinitely beyond us that we are not capable of fully understanding the Lord or describing him. See, we're bound to this creation, aren't we? So let me give you an example within this. If I were to take, for instance, this pulpit right here, and I were to tell you, look at this pulpit and describe for me its creator. Now, some of you might be able to do that, because you might know who it is. But most of us, no, we wouldn't. I mean, we might be able to say some things about the Creator, like he's skilled. He's skilled. There's an order and there's a logic to what he has done. There's some obvious design. There's some focus here. We've got the Bible on the front. And so that element of religion and the scriptures, and we see that, and it's ornate. And so he's given to detail. But can we even say he, perhaps? I don't know. You see, to look at a creation and think that you can describe a creator, it's just not possible. And so when we look at God's creation and our framework is only that which we exist in and that which we have, and we are asked to describe and understand something that is separate from creation, we can understand some things about God, can't we? Just like we can understand some things about the carpenter. But could we ever fully understand the carpenter just by looking at a pulpit? No. And you and I will never fully understand God just by looking and pondering over what we have in creation. I'll give you another example. God is so infinitely far above us that it's more likely that a worm would be able to fully describe a star than you or I fully be able to describe God. You want to go real deep? We good for that tonight on a Wednesday night? We just lack the framework. Let's talk math. Let's talk geometry. You with me tonight? Say amen. I see a lot of shaking heads, all right? I told you we're going to some deep waters. So let's talk geometry. If I have a one-dimensional plane, in a one-dimensional plane, I lack all but one dimension. And so everything exists, if you would, just as a point. It exists as a point in that one-dimensional plane. In a two-dimensional plane, I can have two dimensions, length and width. So perhaps it's a line, perhaps it's a square, perhaps it's a triangle. And I can have something in two dimensions, right? You with me? So one dimension is just one dimension, it's a point. Two dimensions, it has length and width. Three dimensions, well, it has three dimensions, length and width and height. And so it's a cube, if you will. It's a cube. It has length and width and height. I can hold it in my hand. It's a nice little box. But what happens if that box from the third dimension jumps over to the second dimension? What does it turn into? A square. Turns into a square. And then if it tumbles into the first dimension, it just shows up as a point. So tell me, how could you look at a point in the first dimension and describe a cube in the third dimension? You couldn't do it, could you? How could you even see a square in the second? Oh, we could understand some things by looking at the square, correct? But could we look at a square and fully comprehend a cube? No. See, what I think we fail to remember sometimes in our effort to understand God and to understand the Trinity is that God is separate from this creation. That God exists in a plane far higher than you or I could even imagine. And that when the Lord, Philippians 2, being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, cube, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Point. See what happens? Jesus met us where we are. And so we can appreciate him in our plane. But that also means you and I have no concept for how to understand him in all his glory. Not too deep, right? You still with me tonight? Did I lose anybody? Nobody walked out, so that's good. So the question is, how do you describe the Trinity? And the answer is, church, you can't. You cannot, thank you. Anyone who tells you they can is getting ready to speak heresy, so run. Now, there are some reflections in our world, but they all fall short. And you've probably heard many of these illustrations that I'm about to give. They all fall short. None of them are accurate. None of them are advisable. Maybe you've heard that the universe is made up of time, space, and matter. And so it's a good illustration of the Trinity. It's not. Maybe you've heard the egg illustration, that it's got the shell, the white, and the yolk. And so it's the three yet one, and it's a good illustration. It's not. Maybe you've heard the illustration of humanity, body, soul, and spirit. Three yet one. That's a good illustration. No, it's not. This is one of my favorite, the U.S. government as a representation of the Lord. The executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, not a good illustration. Anybody heard the water illustration? It exists as a solid, as a liquid, and as gas. And so the water could be it's not a good illustration. Don't use water. That's bad. All of these, and probably so many more that I didn't list, they all fall heretically short. Honestly, they're not just okay. No, they're heresy. And we probably should not use them to try to illustrate the Trinity. Because in reality, it's probably more dangerous and detrimental to offer these illustrations that give us wrong ideas than to simply say that God is so infinite we cannot describe him fully in human terms. The truth of the Trinity, one in essence, three in person. Can I explain it? No. Because the Trinity is a truth that cannot be fully comprehended, but hear me, it is also a truth that cannot be cheapened. It is one of the most humbling and compelling truths that God is very different from humans and far beyond us. And church, I don't want this to leave you confused and I don't want it to leave you frustrated, but we have to receive the fact by faith that God is unobjectifiable and incomprehensible. And don't let it lead you to angst. Let it lead you to greater awe and how great and how high and how holy and how incomprehensible and how infinite our good God is. So the question is, how do you describe or illustrate the Trinity? And the answer is, you can't. All right, so question number two that was given to me has to do with oneness theology versus Trinitarian theology. And so for those of you who may not be familiar with the term oneness theology, it is the idea the question here between oneness and Trinitarian is, do we have one that functions as three or three that functions as one or some sort of mix in the middle? So let's talk about oneness for a minute. Oneness is essentially the heresy of modalism. Oneness is essentially the heresy of modalism, that it is one God who plays different roles. Meaning, on depending what the scene is, sometimes he shows up as God the Father. Depending on what the scene is, sometimes he manifests himself as God the Son. Depending on the scene, he'll manifest himself as God the Holy Spirit. So oneness is the idea that is one God who plays different roles at different times. And so modalism teaches that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not distinct persons, but simply different modes or roles of God's self-revelation. He is a God who reveals himself as Father, as Son, and as Spirit, depending on what he is doing. Perhaps you've heard the human equivalent of this. Well, I sometimes function as a son. When I go visit my mom and dad, I am still the son of my parents. So in that role, in that house, I am son. But also in that house, I am husband, because I take my wife with me when we go visit family. Also in that house, I am father myself. So within the matter of moments, I will be son, I will be husband, I will be father. And so I am one, and yet I have these different manifestations of roles. This is also the different phases of water. Sometimes it appears as solid, sometimes it appears as liquid, sometimes it appears as gas. But regardless of how you illustrate it, this is wrong, because you cannot deny that God is three in person. Now, suppose with me that God is not three in person. And I want to show you one verse, and I want you to tell me, how does this verse work if God is not three in person? John chapter 14, verse number 16. Jesus is saying, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Tell me, how does this work if it's all one person? That's some crazy, crazy talk right there. Because Jesus is saying, I am going to ask the Father. I'm going to ask something of someone. And he is going to give you another, meaning a different of a similar kind. So God, but a different comforter. So what do we see in that verse? We see a Father, we see the Son, and we see the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And so you cannot look at Scripture and deny that God is three in person. So oneness theology, modalism, if you will, that it is one God simply playing different roles, it's just wrong. Just wrong. For many of the verses we read regarding the persons of the Trinity earlier, this verse and many others. But church, be careful. Because many Trinitarians accidentally slip into what's called the triad heresy. The triad heresy. And the triad heresy is just as bad as the modalistic heresy or the oneness heresy on the other side, where the triad heresy says that we have three gods who simply form one government. We worship one God. We love and serve one God. It is not three gods who form one government. The triad or tritheism portrays the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as three independent divine beings, three separate gods who are linked together in some special way to form one unified government. So to give you an illustration from kind of our day-to-day would be, for instance, if we looked at the church staff. And we said Pastor Holmes, Brother Kaufman, and Pastor Belcher, they are three distinct individuals, and yet we come together to form one united church staff. Well, that's fine for our church staff, but that's not what the Bible teaches about God. The Lord our God is one Lord. We don't serve three gods, we serve one God. Monotheism, one God. The Trinity is not a cosmic coalition of gods who got together some point in the distant eternal past to form a unified government. There is one God. John 10 in verse number 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 14 in verse number 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath what, church? Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? And so we cannot deny, the Bible is clear, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, oneness is wrong. You cannot deny that God is three in person. But you also cannot deny that the Bible is also very clear that there is but one God. So you know what people try to do? Once they see that the oneness is heresy, once they see that the triad or trinity is heresy, what they'll do then is they'll somehow land on the partialism heresy. And the partialism heresy says that what we have is we have three parts that form one God. Three parts that form one God. Partialism is the heresy that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, when put together, make up one God. This would suggest that each are part of God and are only fully God when they come together. Kind of like the old pie chart. By the way, this is why the egg illustration fails. This is why the government illustration fails, beyond the fact that we're using the U.S. government as an illustration of God. This is why the universe, time, space, matter fails. This is why the human condition fails. Because God the Father is not part of God, He is all God. And God the Son is not part of God, He is all God. And God the Holy Spirit is not part of God, He is all God. Perfectly distinct, yet perfectly one. So it seems oftentimes that when it comes to the Trinity, what I can do is tell you what not to believe more than I can give you all of the answers on what is. But church, it's not one God who just simply manifests himself in different ways. That is wrong. That is heresy. It is not three separate gods who form this cosmic coalition. That is heresy. And it is not that they are all partial God who come together to form one God. That also is heresy. Perfectly distinct, yet perfectly one. One in essence, three in person. You still with me tonight? Say amen. I got one more question. I think the most helpful one is, can you describe or illustrate the Trinity? And the answer, church, is I cannot. I cannot. Honestly, if we would just remember that, save us a lot of trouble. Question number three, last one I'll go over tonight. This was an interesting one. Can you rank the Trinity? Can you rank the Trinity? So as we begin to discuss this tonight, can you rank the Trinity? Again, I want to reiterate that trying to understand our infinite God presents a greater problem than asking a worm to understand the sun. This finite mind cannot really even begin to scratch the surface of an infinite God. That being said, the Bible clearly teaches that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and fully God. Therefore, there is no intrinsic rank. They are co-equal and all fully God. Therefore, there is no intrinsic rank. Now, practically, what we do see in the Trinity is a beautiful example of what we're going to call voluntary mutual submission. Voluntary mutual submission. Let me give you a couple of examples. The Son is totally yielded to the Father's will. John 5 and verse 30. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. In Luke 22 and verse number 42, Jesus prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What is that? Is that God the Father pulling rank because he's bigger and badder? No, this is voluntary mutual submission. The Father, we see, has given all authority and judgment to the Son. John 5, beginning in verse number 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him. We see the Spirit was sent by the Father and Son at the appointed time. John 14 and verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we see here not intrinsic rank, but voluntary mutual submission. The voluntary mutual submission of equals that we see in the Trinity, by the way, serves as a beautiful example for you and I. We're reminded in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3. I quoted some of this earlier, verse 5, sorry. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we see here, even in Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He humbled himself. Church, that provides a beautiful example for us. I think one of the most beautiful places we find this example of voluntary mutual submission, I think we find it in marriage. Let me ask you, is there a difference in intrinsic value between the husband and the wife? Is the husband more valuable than the wife in the eyes of God? No. No, they are of equal value. But God has created for them different roles. And what is the role that has been created? God has ordained that the husband be the head of the home, and God has ordained that the wife submit herself to her husband. equal in value, but voluntary in submission. See, I think what the Lord Jesus does in his relationship with God the Father, I think is a beautiful example of what ought to be taking place in our homes. I think it's also a beautiful example of what ought to be taking place amongst believers in the church. The whole context of that beginning part of Philippians 2 is that we esteem others better than ourselves. And what do? We look to the needs of others. And so though we are equal in value, what do we go about doing? We go about voluntarily submitting ourselves to build up and see the needs of others met, to see the work of the Lord accomplished. So this idea of voluntary submission is not a matter of intrinsic value. It's not the value of what somebody is worth in the eyes of God. No, it is about the place and the role that God has given. No rank, we see in the Trinity, no rank co-equal with voluntary mutual submission. Couple of questions and some information about the Trinity tonight. Church, the Trinity is a truth that cannot be fully comprehended, but it is also a truth, I said it earlier, that cannot afford to be cheapened. Because you cannot have the fullness of what God has for you until you embrace by faith the fullness of who He is. One in essence, three in person. You cannot deny that the Bible teaches that we love, worship, and serve one God. But we also cannot deny that the Bible teaches that we love, worship, and serve one God in three persons. Here's my admonition as we leave tonight. Will you ever fully understand it? No. Will you ever be able to find an example on this earth that will allow you to explain it? You cannot. By the way, honestly, the example of you cannot understand the Creator from the creation is probably a great illustration to help somebody understand. You're not going to be able to fully understand all of who God is. So that one might be helpful. But the egg? No. The human? No. The U.S. government? No. No, no, no. So here's my advice. Here's my counsel. As we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, let go of your frustration and receive by faith what God's word clearly says. Don't let the fact that you can't understand create angst in your soul. Let it create awe in your soul. We worship a great God. One in essence, three in person. He is worthy. Amen. Father, tonight we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have had to look into your word for a little while. And Lord, as we have delved into some, Lord, a little bit deeper water, some things that we've all wrestled with, some things that we've all wanted more clarity about, Lord, I pray that you would allow the truth of your word, Lord, the many verses that we looked at tonight, Lord, to sink down into our hearts. Help us, I pray, to stand in awe of who you are. Help us, I pray, to worship you, for you are worthy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me tonight? We're going to have a time of invitation. And if God's spoken to your heart tonight in some way, would you respond to Him? As we've looked into God's Word, no doubt His Holy Spirit has spoken to us in some way. Oh, however He's spoken to you, would you respond to Him? Take this time, go to the Father through the Son and the Spirit. As God has spoken, would you respond? Would you sing it with me? We have come into his house and gathered in his name. Let's sing it out tonight, church. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves. Let's sing it out tonight. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name. Magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for the time that we've had to be in your house. And Lord, as we leave tonight, I pray that you'd help us leave with a deeper appreciation for how great you are. How wonderful, how high, how holy, how infinite. And Lord, we would take the awe of our great God and we would seek to shout to the world that there is a God in heaven, a God in heaven that not only made all this, but desires to save sinners such as I. Help us, I pray, to be a light in this world for the glory of our great God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I know it was a little bit deep tonight, but I appreciate your good attention. I know it was a lot of verses, and so if anybody wants some of those verses for further study, I can get you the printout and you can roll with it from there. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.